Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
I'm trying to think what year that was. 75, 76, maybe 77. We'll find out very shortly. The Real Thing and Can't Get By Without You. They are back with a brand new album called The Brand New Day. It's the first album from the original material or of original material from the 70s superstars, The Real Thing. And Chris Amu joins me by Zoom this afternoon. Chris, good afternoon. Good to talk to you. How are you?
Good afternoon. It's nice to see you. I'm just singing along. I haven't heard that the actual single for a long time now, and it still gives me a good feeling when I hear that.
It's a great song. It is. There's a great intro to it. It just smacks of energy. What year was it, Chris? Was it 75, 76?
76, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. So, wasn't too far off the mark. Do you remember being in the studio to record that?
Yes, absolutely, I do.
Do you?
Really? I went to a bloody nightmare recording that, because it's so difficult to sing. It's not an easy song to sing, as anybody who does a song in one of their live sets know. It's not easy, because it's in almost two octaves.
Really?
When I leave your door, I can't get by without you.
Okay.
We're like going from one to the other, you know. So it's not an easy song to sing, but it's it was my favourite out of them, you know. It was great.
Remembering the recording studio and the recording sessions that you did for that song and the sessions that you've done for the new album, what are the differences?
The differences is... when we were recording them, time was of an essence.
Okay.
And basically, we didn't write the song, so therefore, we were directed as to what the writer and producer wanted us to sing, how they wanted us to sing it, you know? And obviously, if I was singing something and I come up with a line that they weren't expecting, they go, oh, God, yeah, keep that. That's what you call collaboration. Mm. But basically, we weren't really in control, unless it was something that we did not like, then we'd be in control.
Okay.
With the new album, we're completely in control.
Yeah.
I wrote the song, all the songs on the album, and complete control as to when I could say to myself, that is a good, that lead vocal is as far as I want to take it.
Okay.
And when me and Dave were doing the harmonies, that is as far as we wanted to, you know. And time wasn't of an essence because we did it from home. So basically, if there was something that we weren't absolutely sure of, we'd just do it again. But when you're paying a lot of money in the studio, sometimes you have to compromise and go, well, hang on. You know, it really is okay, you know. I mean, there's no need, you know. Whereas when you're doing it at home, you can do what you want, basically. And it was more enjoyable doing this.
Did you did it from home? Was that because of COVID-19 and restrictions, or was it because here we are, we can do it?
Yes, that's right. A bit of both.
Right.
COVID restrictions give us the opportunity to do it, because which we wouldn't have had. I had 18 months basically where I could sit down, I could create the songs, because 3/4 of the songs were written during lockdown. So that gave me time to do that. It gave us time to get the band arrangements together.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our band live in Birmingham, London, Southend. You know, we were able to, because of technology, send them the drum track and a rough piano. This is the type of bass I'm looking for. Get the bass on. Mm-hmm. And that we could do it, you know. And the beauty was I could sort of sit here at 2 o'clock in the morning, just sat back, you know, with a beer or something, you know, just generally just relaxing, because I didn't have to get up early the next day because it was not to get up before. And, you know, just sure, you know, and it's like, yeah, no, I don't like that, the way he's playing them cymbals or things that you can't do when you're in a studio necessarily, you know. And also, because of technology now, we didn't have that back then.
Yeah.
So once you got to a certain point with your vocal, that was it. Now, with technology, you can go on and on and on. And
you can,
you know,
yeah.
It's, and it gives the real thing, the only opportunity that we would possibly ever have to do a new product, because record companies are not interested. As far as they're concerned, bands like The Real Thing and people who like The Real Thing are invisible.
Yes, they don't exist anymore.
They don't cater to them people. It's all geared on the young sort of, you know, the young sort of platforms that they can sell, things like that. They're not interested in that.
But Chris, was that not the way in the 70s when you were starting out? And, you know, I was a kid and the you know, the record companies were marketing to me as well, just like they are.
Yes.
Yeah. So I suppose it's just wheel turning, isn't it?
Exactly. But the only thing is, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot more people, older people, were appearing in the charts then,
mm-hmm.
as well as yes. young acts.
Yeah, yeah.
As a lot of the older acts, like your Tony Christie's and people, were still having hits in the charts.
That's right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't, there's no chance of that now.
No.
There's no chance of that now. There's no chance of that now, unless they do it themselves. It won't be because, or maybe if a record company want to re-release something, maybe it's gotten into a commercial or something like that on television.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, they can market it. But it's like when we had the film Everything Else, which was streamed by the BBC 2 years ago.
Right. And what
happened? The record company was so behind us because of the film. I just wish that we'd have had this album then.
Okay.
Because yeah. they had to put all the backing into a best of album, which was an old album, as opposed to something new, because we didn't have anything new.
Okay.
But that was our opportunity to hold them to rent. Say, well, if you want a film, you know, you promote this.
This is what you got to do. Exactly. Tell me about the album then. As you said, the majority of it was written in lockdown. It's called A Brand New Day. And how long is it since there was original material from The Real Thing, Chris?
We've always written original material, but on sale to the public, it's got to be 40 years.
Go away.
Original material on sale to the public, it's got to be that long. Oh. I reckon that it was two albums after the fourth album.
Okay.
Is when we actually stopped. We had singles coming out after that,
mm-hmm.
but not albums, you know.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Did you give it up at any stage, or have you always been
never.
Together? You didn't. You never give it up. It's always never. Been on the go.
Never. We've always been together from when I was 16.
Go away.
And me and Dave are still together now.
That's
and we formed the group back then. We're still together now. And we've never, ever thought... The only time we thought of giving up quitting was when Eddie died.
Okay.
My brother Eddie. When he died, it was like, well, that only leaves two of us now. What are we going to do? We can bring somebody else in, which is the easy option. Bring another singer in. Retain the status quo. And we thought that if we bring somebody else in, it's no longer the real thing. I don't care what anyone says. It's no longer the real thing when you bring in another voice. Mm-hmm. Maybe if we'd have done it 30 years ago and we were still that three now, okay, but to just bring another voice in. We thought, no. Mm-hmm. So Dave and I thought that the only way to retain that fact that we are the original real thing, I did sing 99% of the leads anyway, mm-hmm. on all. We didn't need anybody else. With technology, we could still do an added voice to add to our own two voices. So we've got that three-part harmony on stage. And provided we could deliver the show the way we wanted to deliver it, there was no way that we were going to replace or try to replace Eddie. So that's why we decided to keep it as a duo.
Okay. Tell me about the tour then. What can people expect when they buy tickets and they go along? When are you starting, firstly?
Okay. We're kicking off on the 5th of February in Hornchurch in Essex.
Right.
And at the Queen's Theatre. And then we're doing the Jazz Cafe in London. Wow. To launch the album. And then it really starts to take off around about April. And we'll be doing the whole country. We'll be doing all the festivals. We'll be doing the Rewind festivals, the Let's Rock festivals, and various festivals where we'll headline ourselves mm-hmm. throughout the summer.
Great.
So it's really... And we'll also be, hopefully, getting back to promoting our film, Everything, which at the moment there's talks about it going into the showcase cinemas, and we can get back to doing the Q&As after the film's been screened, because mm-hmm. that's what we did before lockdown. We were going to the cinemas, mainly London-based. We did one in Scotland as well. And after they'd feature the film, we'd come onto stage and we'd do a question and answer with the audience.
That's great.
So we're hoping to be doing that as well.
What kind of
The main thing is the album.
Okay. And when you were doing the Q&As, what were the kind of things that were coming up from the live audience?
People wanted to know about what it was like growing up in an era when there was so much racial tension.
Okay.
They wanted to know what it was like to be cocooned in an area that you really didn't want to venture out of, and how we got to know the music and got to be inspired by the music that we were inspired by because of the Black Americans coming mm-hmm. in off the American base into Toxteth, bringing the music with them.
Mm.
Music that you weren't hearing on mainstream radio.
Yeah.
And that was what actually got us into these groups, because we never heard them on radio, never heard them.
Wow.
In them days, back in 1970, very rare did you hear anything. It was only when there was Motown and that creeping in.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about for young guys like me, like what we were at the time, acts like the Temptations, the OJs and all them, they hadn't really broken through right. on the mainstream TV shows, you know. And so basically, that's what they wanted to know, what it was like, how we sort of dealt with it, and basically what we had to go through in the business. You know, we had a fantastic benefactor. We would be nowhere now, and I wouldn't be sat here talking to you had it not been for our benefactor, who was our manager, Tony Hall, who took us on while we were doing Opportunity Knocks when we were only 18 years old, and was still our manager up to 3 years ago when he died.
Oh, that's lovely. That's a testament.
And he was unbelievable. He shaped the people that we are, and he shaped our whole musical career. And he's the one who gave me the encouragement to sing lead, because I wasn't singing any lead songs when we met him.
Okay.
And he also encouraged Eddie and I to develop our own writing, record our own songs, and it was him.
We hear so many scary stories about managers who took advantage of their, their charges. But in this case, it's been a wonderful experience for you, which is superb, isn't it?
We probably took more off him than he took off.
The name of the album is A Brand New Day. I presume it's just, here we are, we've got something new for you. Is that what it's about? Or is the song itself about something different?
Well, I actually wrote A Brand New Day during lockdown, and I intended it to be a lockdown single. That's where I first got the album. That's where I first got the idea
right.
to maybe record an album. It started off with a song that I thought could be really good for a lockdown song. you know. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote it, because at the time when I was writing it, there was a lot of other little ideas creeping in. And I thought, no, I'm going to hold it back and see what we can come up with song-wise and hopefully get an album together. And basically, what we decided to do was to try and come up with an album that would appeal to the invisible audience who are Real Thing fans, who have stuck with the Real Thing and still like the Real Thing through the old records like You Used to Meet, You Can't Get Buys, things like that. We hope that they would recognise the sound. And also, we decided to follow from our 4 from 8 album with Children of the Ghetto and put something on the album that had meaning for us as people growing up in Toctiff. Hence, Ghetto Quadrilogy of 4 songs that are on the Brand New Day album, which is Children of the Ghetto, God Help the Child, Daddy Dear, and Frontline. And they are the 4 songs that we hope will take people through a journey on what it's like for a young black kid growing up in the ghetto in Toxteth. And that's what them 4 songs are all about. The rest are about lovely sorts of soulful ballads that we hope that people will give people. I got a good feeling when you just played Can't Get By Without You. I was singing along with it myself. I hope that the a lot of songs on this album will give people the same feeling when they listen to them ballads of just feeling nice, you know.
I can tell you, when I first listened to the album, the sound is exactly the same. There's no way, but you can't say that's the Real Thing. It absolutely is. It's brilliant. I also noticed that you seem to be, both of you, you seem to have made a decision to tell stories in your songs, because the length of some of them, 6 minutes and 2, 4:30, 5:41, 5:33, when you were churning out the hits back in the 1970s, three minutes, 3:40, 3:50, max 3:50. So I looked at that and I thought, so obviously you've thought a lot about this and you're telling a story. This is like buying an old LP where you start at the start and you work your way through, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And you can't, unfortunately, this might be a good thing or a bad thing. I don't know. Back in the day, it would have been a bad thing if a song was over 3 minutes. Mm-mm. It really would. Then a radio station, if they really liked it, like Radio 1, they would say, Tony, who is our manager, get it down to 3 minutes.
Really?
So you'd have to go into the studio, you'd have to edit it down to a 3-minute single.
No.
That's what you know. Now, Children of the Ghetto, like you say, it's a long song. It's 5 and something minutes long. And I agonized over, will we ever get this played on the radio? Are they ever going to play it, you know? And then in the end, you just have to tell it as it is. I can't do it any shorter than that. I can't make it any shorter. So hopefully people will listen to it on the album. And it's not the type of song that you just put on and instantly, you've got to sit back and hopefully give it a listen. Give the quadrilogy a listen, because I think that it will take you on a journey and you will... Hopefully, it'll grow on you, you know. Hopefully.
All right. Listen, Chris, I could talk to you for longer, but unfortunately the clock is beating us, and because I'm going to play the title track from the album, A Brand New Day, and that's going to catch me with a commercial break. So I'm going to go now and say thank you very much for joining me to talk to me about the new album and the tour dates from The Real Thing. A Brand New Day is the name of the album. We're going to take the title track from it. Chris, thanks a mil. Lovely talking to you. Glad that you're doing so well, and enjoy the gigging, won't you?
Been lovely talking to you, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Nice one.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Hi everyone, this is James and Dan. We are 2/4 of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. Every week we sit down behind some microphones and share with each other the best things we've found out over the last 7 days.
Yes, so for instance, Dan, did you know that you cannot tie a knot in 4 dimensions?
I knew that's where I was going wrong. Interesting.
There are all sorts of reasons why, but we would go into them all on our podcast, along with loads of extra facts as well.
That's right. And if you want to check it out, No Such Thing as a Fish is available wherever you get your podcasts.